Hallelujah. Is it warm in here? Yeah? Praise God. Ephesians 4. Praise God. God is good, isn't he? Is everybody there? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Let's read it together. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For what? Equipping. Welcome to Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. For the equipping of the saints. Amen? For what? For the work of ministry. So in other words, God is going to equip you for ministry. That's why we come together. That's why we forsake not to assemble. He's equipping us for ministry. Even if we're in ministry, there's still more equipping. Never stops. For the edification of the body of Christ. Now here's very, very important. He says, I'm going to equip you for the ministry and so that the body of Christ can be edified and built up. And here is how the body of Christ is going to be built up and edified. It's till we come to the what? Unity of faith. Unity of faith. So we all carry a level of faith that overcomes the world. Has everybody got this? Till we carry a level of faith that overcomes the world. Now, there are three areas of faith. There's your faith in this. Faith is associated with vision, seeing things. So we are connected. Faith connects us to the throne room of God. Then there's faith in the future, which is called hope. And there's faith in the presence, which allows us to overcome. So without faith, you can do nothing. Faith is tangible. It's a substance in the area where we are connected. And when faith is established, there is vision. There is no such thing, again, as blind faith. Faith is spiritual sight. He says, so that we all come to the unity of faith, so that we all can see. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man. So, this equipment is associated with training, isn't it? So that means that we must practice things, isn't it? Everyone say, practice, practice. Makes perfect. Makes perfect. Practice, practice makes perfect. Makes perfect. Just like an instrument. If you didn't practice how to play something, you wouldn't perfect it. Actually, nobody perfects anything, do they? But we can get close to it. So there's got to be a place of practice. The less you practice, the more you drift from it. It's like, let me give you an example. You get accustomed to locking your door in your home, whatever. Now, I could care less about locking my door because I know the angels are around. But that's my faith. My faith is in God. My faith is in his throne. My faith is in everything about what he says. Not that I don't lock my door sometimes, because the Holy Spirit will reveal to me, you need to lock your door tonight. Why? Because somebody may attempt to come in. You don't know how many times somebody's tried to attempt to come in. But we get accustomed to certain things because we've practiced it. Just same thing as driving a car. You practice driving a car. At first, you start driving. You're bouncing off of curbs. You're bumping into bumpers. You're making a left-hand turn from the right-hand lane. You know, people are horning at you and everything else and saying things that you need to break off. But until you've maintained and you've practiced it, then it becomes a part of your life. You don't no longer think about it anymore. You do it because that's your life. And that's where the Holy Spirit is saying, we've got to get there. We've got to what? Get there. So practice makes what? Perfect. Practice makes perfect. So we come together and you know what's happening? We're reminding. We get reminded when we gather. That's why when you drift from fellowship, when you drift from assembling, you know what happens? You're not putting things into practice because many things you begin to drift from. You know, many times you'll start going and you'll be in your walk and whatever, and all of a sudden you realize, man, you know what? I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm not warfaring like I used to warfare. I'm not putting on the full armor like I used to put. I'm not speaking in certain prayers like I used to. You've walked out of practice. You know why you're not doing those? Because it's not a part of your life then. See, you practice something till it becomes a part of your life. When it becomes a part of your life, you practice the next part till it becomes a part of your life. That's what he's saying here. Keep practicing until Christ is formed in you. Or you will lose
what you have.
Is everybody all right? Look at, let's read verse 13 again. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the what? Fullness of Christ. Until we've reached that place where everything that we do, Christ is in front of us. We don't do anything without seeing the Lord. We don't speak. We don't do anything. We don't make decisions without acknowledging Him. Everything. Now we're walking in the Spirit. Now we're walking in the Spirit. Because see, walking in the Spirit is always seeing Christ. We always see Jesus. David said, I said, I see Jesus in front of me all the time. I see the Lord in front of me. No matter what, my every decision, everything I do, He's there. And I communicate with Him in everything I do. Now I'm walking in the Spirit. So you can say you're walking in the Spirit. You can even quote Scripture, but you ain't in the Spirit until He's involved in every word, thought, and deed. Verse 14. Now, he's saying, okay, now, let me tell you, when you get to this place, there's something that's going to happen. He said that we should what? No longer be children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plans. In other words, you're not going to be moved by what people say. You're not going to be moved. You're not going to be moved by circumstances in your life. You're not going to be moved. You're not going to justify or reason or compromise your reactions. You're going to humble yourself before the hand of God that He may lift you up. You will always want to maintain a place of humility, humbleness before God. Why? Because if He's always before you, you are humble. That's what allow you to know whether you're in the Spirit or not. Because pride has nothing to do with the presence of God. That's what removed Lucifer from the throne room of God. Pride. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself before God Almighty under His hand, and He will lift you up in due time. In other words, what He promised you will come to pass. Why? Because maintaining that arena keeps us in God's timeline. Amen? Everything revolves around God's timeline. When we're out of God's timeline, you're out of order. Everything revolves around that. Everything revolves around His tabernacle and His timeline, because His tabernacle is a set timeline. It's events and things. We are connected to the... See, so your faith connects you to the throne room of God. It connects you to the presence of God. Your faith, why? Because you see. You see. You see the things present. You see the things future. Why? Future is associated with living from the future in the area where you know His promises. You accept who you are. Living from the future maintains your ID. When you live from the past, you exchange your ID for who you were. Just like selling your birthright. You just exchange your ID of who you are. Why? Because you're now reacting from the past, living in the past, not living in the future. That's where the Bible tells us a dog runs back to its vomit. Goes back to reaction. Goes back to the old things. And a dog in the Bible is a demonized person. Hallelujah. So he says, listen, that way you're not going to be tricked by men. You're not going to be tossed by every wind of doctrine, by things that are false prophecies and all kinds of other stuff. In verse 15, but you're going to speak the truth in what? Love, and may grow up, hello, mature, in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. In other words, now you got something to add to. You got something to give. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share. In other words, works and faith. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, we have the unity of faith to a perfect man. This is an area where God can trust you. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. And He says, I can't trust you. Lord, I want to minister, I want to do all these things for you. That's good. You haven't completed phase one of your training yet. People want to jump from step one to step 13. And then they bring shame to the name of the Lord because the enemy's going to wipe them out. Why? Because they're puffed up and prideful. So we no longer get thrown, tossed. And what he's saying is so you're not manipulated by the unseen influence realm, nor are you manipulated by the seen realm. No matter what goes on, you are stand firm. You are steadfast, immovable. That's where He wants His people. You know, it's and he was the example. Remember, he stood before Pilate and all those other guys. They accused him, did all kinds of, but he didn't say nothing. They said, are you really a king? Yep. You know, they said, you know, we have the power to do all of these things. He said, man, ain't no power been given to you but from my Father. See, he knew who he was. And that's where God wants his children to know who they are. And the world has placed labels on people where they're deceived, manipulated, misled, tossed by everything, easily offended, rejected. You know, people who are offended ain't dead. Oh, you hurt me. Oh, too bad. Can't hurt a dead person. Never heard a dead person yelp yet. That's why the Word gives us a formula. Deny yourself. That is not a one day. It says daily. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. Why? Because you can't pick up your cross unless you deny yourself. And you certainly can't follow him unless you pick up the cross. That's according to his word. Practice makes what? Perfect. Romans 7. So let me ask you this. The more you practice, will you maintain? So if you're consistent in everything, you're going to maintain, aren't you? It's like locking your door. Amen? Why? You're putting a hedge of protection up. How about binding the strong man? How about doing warfare, attacking first? If you are consistent in those things, you practice those things, you have victory. Listen, this is a message for victory because the Lord is releasing the sword of victory to those. Look, you can't grab the sword of victory unless you're in position. The sword of victory is for those who are in position. For those who are not in position, they will be cut, convicted. The sword works both ways. In Romans 7, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Practice makes what? Romans 7, verse 14. Would you read it with me, please? It says, for we know that the law is what? Spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul speaking. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. That is the old man. Your old man, see, he who's in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away, all things become new. Your old man is still in you. It's associated with what we call the flesh now. The old man was birthed as an offspring of Satan. Do you understand this? You and I were born in sin, destined to death and hell. We were the offsprings of darkness, not the offsprings of light. God sent our spirit in this realm, but he knew that we would have a body that would be the offspring of Satan's kingdom. Does everybody get this? We were born in darkness. We were born in sin. So your old man... So again, that's, if you're not born again, are you going to heaven? No, it's impossible. You're going right where you were birthed from. Does everybody get it? We were sent from heaven into this realm, a body of hell and a character of hell, waiting to be born again to overcome the old man of the flesh and the world that it was birthed in. We came from the dust, didn't we? Amen. It says here now, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Sin is known as the presence of evil. Your old man is the presence of evil. For I know that in me, that is in my what? Come on, read it with me. Verse, in my what? In my what? Who is that? The old man. In my flesh, nothing what? Good dwells. Come on, man, are you getting this? For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't know what to do. It's not found. It's not found where? In the carnal nature, the old man. It ain't there. It can't do nothing good. It has a form of goodness. It's eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but not the tree of life. Even when Adam and Eve fell, God said, you ain't eating that tree, man. You're good and evil now. You out of here. Everybody out of the pool. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I what? Practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that evil is present with me. Evil is present with you all the time. It doesn't mean we're evil. It says it's there. It's which one you're going to submit to every day of your life. We have enough problem with demons running around. That's all they're going to do is influence your flesh, the old man, because they can't get to you without getting to the old man first. They get to the old man, they get to you. Then when you agree with it, spirits come in and dwell. And they all hang around the old man. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law of my members warn against the law of my mind. In this he says, my spirit. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, in my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this, what? Body, the flesh of death, the old man. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind or with my spirit, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he began to separate. He got revelation of what's going on here. See, Paul was born again. He says, now I understand. Now in my born again spirit, man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, strengthened and empowered now, now has dominion over the old man. So now what I do is if I'm led by the Spirit of God, the old man stays crucified behind me. Hey, he tries to speak though. Yo, get me off of here. Look at this girl. Look at that guy. Look at this. Look at this. Don't you want this? Don't you want that? Shut up. Boom. Speak this. Speak that. Man, people just throw stuff off their mouth. Anything they hear, I feel this. I feel that. The world's words don't go to the grounds. Demons pick them up or angels do. Oh, nobody heard me. Oh, they did. They all heard you. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we practice what we were until we are born again. Then there's got to be an understanding through the Word of God that now gives us something to compare what is righteous and what is not righteous. What is pleasing to God and what is displeasing to God. See, we don't have any excuse when you're born again by the Spirit. There's no excuse. God will not interfere with your choice or your will. Never. He didn't interfere with the angels' will either. They have a will too. In fact, a third of them left God, followed Lucifer. They have a free will. God does not create anything by force. He creates them by love. Love offers a free will. So you and I have a choice, a free will, to either follow and do what's right and be led by the Spirit to be called a son or daughter of God, or we have a choice to be led by the flesh and be called sons of the devil. Romans 2. So you think it might be important that we assemble together? Amen. We're coming for training, aren't we? Amen. We're coming to be reminded. Verse 2. But we know... verse 1, I'm sorry. Would you read it with me? Therefore you are what? Inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For whatever you judge, another, you condemn yourself. Why does he condemn himself? Because you who judge practice the same stuff. You're judging someone else and still doing the same thing. Man, did you hear what that person spoke? This, that, whatever. And you're over flapping your lips like nothing. He says, you're condemning yourself because you're practicing the same thing you're judging someone else. How many of y'all know these epistles are written to believers, not believers? These were written to the church of God, believers. So don't think these are to heathen. Believers can act just like a heathen. Hallelujah. Verse 2. But we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Dummy. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. I ain't repenting. I ain't done nothing wrong. Oh, really? You just did. You just rebelled. And that is an act of war against God. But in accordance to your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. Now we've gone beyond judgment. Does everybody get this? Okay, there's conviction, chastisement, judgment, wrath is final. That's a matter of death. You're caught up in God's wrath, you can expect to die. But in accordance to your hardness and your impeding heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance, that means practice, in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of a man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. In other words, we bring it on ourselves. Psalm 141. Psalm 141. You know, one of the things that must be practiced, and I want to share this with you, is worship. This is not entertainment. Worship. And there's a place where he's in front of you as you worship, where he's there. Right in front. When you're speaking to him. See, the Bible says what you sow is what you reap. And many of us are still reaping because we're sitting in worship going, you ain't sowing. Let me tell you something. Every word that comes up here, I'm speaking. Why? Because I'm sowing. I'm speaking. I don't care. I'm speaking it whether my face is on the floor or it's up towards him. I'm speaking it. Why? Because I'm sowing, I'm sowing, I'm sowing. A lot of people are like this. Oh, Lord. Slap their religious spirit out of that person. Cut the garbage and start sowing. This is not about a religious state of being. There's a place where you and I have got to press through that realm. And when you worship and you're singing and you're this is a part of practice. Because eventually you're going to get to that place where you'll enter in quick. And it's like, whoa, this is different. I've been singing these words, but ain't nothing but happening. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm in. You know what happened? Singing those words is knock, knock, knock. Let me in. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to taste your goodness. I want your presence. Let me in. You're worshiping. Then all of a sudden the door opens up and you step in. Bingo. You win. Like, whoa, everything changes. It's like, wow, this is great. What took me so long? Why did I walk away from this wonderful, glorious presence of God? Why don't I fight for your presence, Lord? I'm sorry. You know, one of the first things that happens, you want to repent because you realize you've been an idiot. Dear God, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot. Why haven't I assembled? Why haven't I fought for your presence? Man, I fight for everything else but you. See, this is what you begin to realize. Man, I'm so busy protecting myself and fighting for myself and proving myself that I ain't denying myself at all. I'm so busy telling everybody about what they're doing wrong that I'm the one that's the worst. Dear Lord, have mercy on me. See, there's that place that you step in that you don't want to ever let go of again. It's got nothing to do with out here. It's in here. And you got to break through. You got to break through into the holy place. You got to break through into the holy place. You can stay in and listen. That's why you're still fighting salvation. You're fighting to stay alive. You're in survival mode. That's outer court stuff. You're still grumbling, complaining. You're still accusing. You're still this. All of that's outer court. You ain't gotten into the holy place because in the holy place, you don't live. Your spirit man gets in there. And then when you get to the holy of holies, shoes come off. You're gone. Don't matter no more. You know what happens when you get into the holy of holies? You want to go home. You don't care about your wife, your children, nothing. You just want to go home. Yes! Anyways. Is everybody okay? Man, you talk about my daddy's presence. I want it. I mean, there isn't anything greater. There's nothing fulfilling but his presence. Really overwhelming and fulfilling. But you got to fight to get there. Everything's a fight. Everything's a fight. You got to fight, fight, and fight. Fight to deny yourself. Fight. Get out of the outer court and into the holy place. Sow till you drop. People shop till they drop. How about sowing the spirit till you drop? It's called slain in the spirit. Psalm 141, verse 3. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing. Hello? To do what? To practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their what? Delicacies. Woo! Look at verse 5. Are you ready for this? Can you handle this? Are you willing to receive a little correction and direction? How about conviction and chastisement? How about a little judgment so you escape the wrath? Let the righteous strike me. It shall be what? A kindness. And let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the what? Deeds of the wicked that are what? Influencing you. Listen, until you make what's unseen seen, until you get a reality that everything is influenced by the unseen realm, you'll always stay in the cycle of deception. Until you're willing to fight for God's presence, you'll stay in the cycle of deception. You got to sow, so you outrun your reaping. Then things begin to change. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15. Oh, glory. Practice makes what? Yeah, so give people a break when they're still practicing it. Amen? Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous, there's much treasure. Hello, that's blessing, isn't it? But in the revenue of the wicked is what? Trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fools does not do so. The sacrifice of the wicked is the abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who what? Follows righteousness. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. In other words, God's going to slap you. He's going to chasten you. He says, I chasten those I love. And if you haven't been chastened by me yet, you're not his. He is going to correct you. Some of us are being chastened right now. We're being corrected right now, knowing, you know what, I need to get back in position. I'm out. I'm not in a place where I know I'm pleasing God. Verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts of the sons of men? A scoffer does not love or corrects him. A scoffer does not love one who what? Corrects him. Nor will he give to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on what? Foolishness. 1 Corinthians 9. Practice makes what? Perfect. In verse 24, let's read it together, please. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Remember that crown that was released Friday night? Amen. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I what? I what? So you think maintaining your practice in consistency is going to take discipline. Where do you think the word disciple came from? But I discipline my body and bring it into what? Subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should not be disqualified. You think your tongue is a part of your body? Amen. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. Practice makes perfect. In verse 18. 13:18, Matthew, are you there? Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not what? Understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So who comes and snatches the word? Okay, you got that now, right? Remember the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to bring life and life abundantly. So that means that if the devil's trying to steal the word, he's trying to interfere with your connection. Because faith is your connection, isn't it? Okay, go to Romans chapter 10. He steals the words of truth to practice righteousness. See, if he can steal these things, then you don't practice them. Romans 10. Is everybody there? Verse 17. Okay, so the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal truth that causes a person to practice righteousness. Amen? So you must understand that when you leave here today, he's going to try and steal everything that was imparted in you. In Romans 10:17, what does it say? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So again, faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? So if we're hearing the word of God, we're getting vision, aren't we? Because everything that is spoken is seen. So we're getting vision for, about the other realm. The word of God is always expressing the other realm. He uses parables to be parallels to the other side. So the word that is being spoken, that we are hearing, is opening the other side. We are getting vision. That's called faith. Now, our faith is connected to God's throne room, to the other side. It is connected to our future, which is called hope, and is connected to our presence, which helps us to overcome. All right? So, the enemy wants to steal the words of truth to prevent you from practicing righteousness. Because God's word is righteous. When you stop practicing God's word, you practice wickedness. Is everybody okay? All right, go to 1 John chapter 5. In verse 1, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Hello. Here's a victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. So why don't you think? So if you're practicing the word of God, right, you're practicing righteousness, aren't you? And you're getting more and more vision. So what's happening when you're doing that, the other seen is becoming more and more seen. You're making what's unseen and invisible to you now more seen. And you're realizing that your influence now is from the unseen realm. And so you're not going to be influenced by the unseen realm, nor will you be influenced by the seen realm, because you are steadfast. Because what you are practicing, remember, what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. So if you're speaking the words of truth, you're becoming truth. If you're speaking words of deception, discord, you become wicked. You're feeding the old man, the flesh. And what you feed will overcome. What you starve will become weak. Has everybody got that? So you overcome by faith, don't you? Amen? Now, again, faith is connected to the throne room of God. It's connected to your future called hope, and it's connected to the present time. But it comes by hearing God's word. Why? Because it is food to your spirit. You are strengthening your spirit by eating the word. That's why Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. His flesh is his word. His blood is his spirit. His flesh is His word. His blood is His spirit. So by doing that, we are practicing the word of God, being led by the Spirit, crucifying our flesh, keeping the old man behind us, fighting for the presence of God, and no longer fighting for ourselves. And then we have victory. You know, remember the Lord, and the word for 2015 was the Lord was going to release the sword of victory to those who are in position. He's showing you now how to get in position and letting you know that your faith, which is connected to Him eternally, present, and future, is through His word and through His spirit that we must maintain position to overcome in every area. Practice makes perfect. So we must put it into practice. We continue it. That's why we pray every day. That's why we decree every day. You're putting things into practice. Eventually, it won't be just an area where you're doing it. It's an area where you do it because it feeds you. And then you become angry with evil, and you begin to attack evil. And God's presence is the only thing that fulfills you. Money doesn't fulfill you. His presence fulfills you. Success doesn't fulfill you. Does everybody get this? His presence fulfills you. You know, I've been busting my butt on this witness car. And I'm not going to say it hasn't been killing me. It's been helping me deny myself more. You know, one day I would get frustrated and whatever, and my wife would come and she goes, "How's it going over there?" I said, "Man, things don't change. I'm going to kill somebody." One day she came in, I said, "It's changed from killing somebody to suicide." Of course, I was only kidding. But in that, in that process, God was using a project to bring me to another place. Now I look at this car. It's not about the car at all. I think the car is going to be a wonderful tool of God. But believe me, I look at it and go, ugh. It doesn't mean nothing to me. Nothing. The only thing that I see is a message to the world of hope. See, but people begin to cherish materialism. They upkeep their materialism more than I do. They upkeep themselves. Oh, they upkeep their looks, but to upkeep your spirit, that's different. Upkeeping your spirit should be the number one thing in your life. The number one thing. You know, the word, remember we talk, you hear sayings, you can't tell the book by its cover, can you? There's a lot of form of godliness, but they deny the power. The number one thing in our life is to upkeep our spirit so that it is strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not our own. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 John chapter 3. In verse 7. Let's start a little bit further. Verse 6. Would you read it with me? Whoever what? Abides in Him does what? Listen, if you're abiding in Him, sin doesn't have dominion over you. That doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Amen? Because you're still putting things into practice. But don't stop practicing. You're to practice till you perfect. You're to practice till you can tie your tongue in a bow tie. You might as well make it look good. Amen? Hallelujah. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Ooh. Seen Him or known Him. All right, now I want you to grab hold of this. Faith is what? Vision. See, in the Spirit, you will see Him and you will know Him. You will see Him and you will know Him. Every time, man, He stands before me as I'm worshiping. And wherever David said it, I always keep the Lord before me. What was David? He was a worshiper. He used to sit in front of the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God was. When he went in trouble, he went to the presence of God. That's where he went. He didn't get the phone. He went to the throne. He didn't grumble and complain. He ran to God's presence. Why? Because everything is in God's presence. Everything. There isn't nothing that's not in His presence that will help me and you. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or known Him. Again, when you lose vision, you've lost faith. Little children, let no one deceive you. Verse 7, read it with me. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the what? Now remember, when he's saying of the devil, it's because when a person is no longer practicing righteousness. He's practicing wickedness. And the old man has been let loose. And now that person is a son or daughter of the devil, not a son or daughter of God. One day you can be the devil's advocate. The next day you'll be an offspring of the Lord. Amen? Why? Because God will not interfere with your free will. So if you think just because you've been saved, it's done and over with, no, now it begins. Salvation is in the outer court. Now you battle for the holy place. And then you battle for the most holy place. But if you don't keep battling, you don't keep putting things into practice, you'll stay in the outer court and you'll be one step away from L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth and hell. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he, what? Might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, your cooperation is going to keep the devil destroyed. Does everybody get it? Whoever has been born of God and does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. James chapter 1. Glory. Practice makes? Yeah. James chapter 1, verse 21. Let's read it together. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted what? Word. Which is what? Able to save your soul. Who's trying to steal the word from you? Amen. So you don't practice righteousness, you begin to practice rebellion, which is wickedness. And a practice of rebellion is an act of war towards God. Verse 22. But be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect liberty of the law and does what? What's continue mean? Practice in it. And is not a what? Forgetful. Look at it. If you don't practice it, you end up forgetting it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be what? Bless him what he does. 2 Timothy 2. All glory. Is everybody there? Whoa. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Oh, no. Nice. Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Yeah, that's it. Is everybody there? Let's read it. This is a what? Faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, you know, endure is associated with patience. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He don't change. He cannot deny himself. Verse 14, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Wow. Does everybody get it? Yeah. Something very powerful here. And he talks about in the area of things that we speak that can defile us. Things that we speak can do what? Defile us. In other words, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, approved to him. So we must be consistent. We must continue to practice the things of the Word of God. And I want to close with 2 Peter chapter 1. Practice makes perfect. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Who steals the Word? Amen. If he can steal it, you don't practice it. If you don't practice righteousness, you're practicing wickedness. In verse 2, let's read it together. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble. Now that's beautiful. He's letting you know, man, if you put these things into practice and you maintain practicing these things, you'll never stumble. And you know what? When you never stumble, you think you got God's trust? Amen. So you think he'll give you more? You know why people don't have what they ask for? Because he can't trust them. They're inconsistent and unstable. They don't practice what they've been taught. Oh, they do it for a day or two and then quit. He can never trust them. That's why other things, businesses and everything else, God ain't going to give people stuff that he can't trust, because he doesn't want shame to his name. He's not going to give wealth to those who proclaim and promote instability. Amen? Verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be diligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to what? Stir you up by what? Reminding you to practice these things. Reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Practice makes perfect. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, I pray today, Lord, that the seed be protected by the blood of Christ. I rebuke the enemy that would try and steal the seed today. And I ask that a thirst and hunger be imparted in your people and a desire to practice these things. Not when they feel like it, but as a part of their life every single day, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.